The reading this morning is taken from 2 Kings, chapter 6, verses 8 to 23, and this is on page 337 of the Pew Bible. 2 Kings, chapter 6, verses 8 to 23. The Aramean attack is thwarted. Once, when the king of Aram was at war with Israel, he took counsel with his officers. He said, "At such and such a place shall be my camp." But the man of God sent word to the king of Israel, "Take care not to pass this place, because the Arameans are going down there." The king of Israel sent word to the place of which the man of God spoke. More than once or twice he warned such a place, so that it was on the alert. The mind of the king of Aram was greatly perturbed because of this. He called his officers and said to them, "Now tell me, who among us sides with the king of Israel?" Then one of his officers said, "No one, my lord king. It is Elisha, the prophet in Israel, who tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedchamber." He said, "Go and find where he is. I will send and seize him." He was told, "He is in Dothan." So he sent horses and chariots there, and a great army. They came by night and surrounded the city. When an attendant of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. His servant said, "Alas, master, what shall we do?" He replied, "Do not be afraid, for there are more with us than there are with them." Then Elisha prayed, "O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see." So the Lord opened the eyes of the servant, and he saw. The mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. When the Arameans came down against him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, "Strike this people, please, with blindness." So he struck them with blindness, as Elisha had asked. Elisha said to them, "This is not the way, and this is not the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek." And he led them to Samaria. As soon as they entered Samaria, Elisha said, "O Lord, open the eyes of these men so that they may see." The Lord opened their eyes, and they saw that they were inside Samaria. When the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elisha, "Father, shall I kill them? Shall I kill them?" He answered, "No. Did you capture with your sword and your bow those whom you want to kill? Set food and water before them, so that they may eat and drink, and let them go to their master." So he prepared for them a great feast. After they ate and drank, he sent them on their way, and they went away to their master. And the Arameans no longer came raiding into the land of Israel. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. O Holy Spirit, open our spiritual eyes. We want to see Jesus. We want to see the Father's glory. Amen. Last week, we had a terrific speaker, Mark Green, who showed us how a young serving girl could have a great impact at her workplace. She was instrumental in healing her master, Naaman, of leprosy and led him to know the one true God. So who was this prophet Elisha that the serving girl introduced Naaman to that brought healing? Note that this is Elisha, not Elijah. Have you ever gotten these two men mixed up? Their names sound so much alike and their lives so closely associated with one another that many people got confused. Nevertheless, they were two different men, and they were very different. Elijah was a prophet of fire and judgment, and you probably remember him exposing the powerlessness of Baal worship by calling a torrent of fire fell from heaven to consume a sacrifice on a water-drenched altar, while Baal could not even light up the sacrifice on a dry altar. Elisha, on the other hand, was a prophet of mercy and compassion. He is remembered as a prophet whose ministry is in tender teaching, and he was also very much in tune with God. And time had passed. The king of Aram had forgotten how his army commander Naaman was healed, and they wanted to test the strength of Israel again. So the Aramean army strategized and set up ambushes. But each time, no Israeli showed up. And so the king of Aram got frustrated and he yelled at his officers, "So which one of you is on the side of the king of Israel?" All the men look at each other, dare not say a word. And one man finally broke silence and said, "None of us, Lord. It's not us. It is the prophet Elijah. He knows all the words the king speaks in these chambers and tells them to the king of Israel." The king was furious and shouted, "Go find out this Elijah so I can capture him." You see, regardless of who we are and how close a relationship we have with God, troubles come. Trouble comes to all with no exception, not even Elijah. The only difference is the response to the trouble that comes. Trouble comes from various reasons. It may be due to our own actions, actions of others. It may be a test of faith, or it may be an attack of the enemy. Recently, someone from church is diagnosed with cancer. And her first reaction is, "What have I done wrong that I have cancer?" And the truth is, she has done nothing to neglect her health, nor is it a punishment from God. It just happened because we live in an imperfect world with viruses and sicknesses. On the contrary, there are people who always put the blame on others. They never reflect, they never acknowledge and accept responsibility. But in order to grow, in order to learn lessons from a challenge, we have to attribute the right course to the circumstance. In this particular instance, Elijah had done nothing wrong that he was on the wanted list of the king of Aram. It was purely an attack of the enemy. The king of Aram dispatched a strong force of army under the cover of darkness, and before the sun rose, the entire city of Dothan, where Elisha resided, was surrounded. Early that morning, Elisha's servant woke up and went outside with his morning drink, and wiping open his sleepy eyes, he saw horses and chariots surrounding the whole city. The servant was so frightened that he dropped his cup and went straight to Elisha and said, my Lord, what shall we do?" Fear is often the first reaction when we feel overwhelmed, when we react to trouble. We too ask, what shall we do when we get hit by the financial tsunami? When we see the stock market tumbling down? When we hear more and more people get laid off? We also ask, what shall we do when we hear that the swine flu has become pandemic? When we see the H1N1 influenza A is now here in Hong Kong? What is our response? Is it, "Oh no, I don't want to have another SARS. I don't want to see our economy to get hit once again now that we just improve a little bit"? Or you say, "Oh, let's go and stock up face masks, sanitary hand sanitizers, and canned food and bottled water"? Or you said, "No, what is the chance that I will get hit?" All these responses are not wrong. But can we look beyond the service and have a deeper response like Elisha? Elisha said to his servant, "Do not be afraid, for there are more with us than with them." Then he prayed. And note how he prayed. He did not pray, "Lord, remove the trouble. Take away the illness," like how we would pray, you know, "God, take away the illness." Or, "Get me out of this situation. Give me a new job." Elisha's prayer is, "Lord, please open this man's spiritual eyes that he may see your glory and your provision." Seeing God in the situation is what Elisha prayed. And immediately after the prayer, the servant, instead of being blinded by doubt, he saw horses and God's chariots of fire surrounding them in a hedge of protection. How do we not give in to fear, but have spiritual eyes to see beyond? To see that behind history, there stood God Almighty. That no daily event is out of his control, no matter how frightening it appears at the moment. And for that, we need to go back to the scriptures and see how what men and women of God did in similar situations. Moses, when he and his people were chased by the Egyptian army as they were leaving the land of slavery, the people were frightened. But Moses had the privilege of having a conversation with God, face to face in the burning bush. He had the privilege of seeing and realizing that there is life and God beyond the physical world. And because of the spiritual eyesight, Moses was able to say with full confidence, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptian you see today, you will see them no more. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." When Moses said those words to his people, do you think he knows how he is going to lead them to safety? I think probably not. He probably does, because it hasn't happened, and it takes faith, but not blind faith though, but faith that is based on experience. Moses knows that he can trust God's love and power, just like a child trusts his father. The Bible says, "Faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen." Faith is an assurance, a conviction, a power that kicks in when the task at hand is beyond us. We don't need faith if our own resources can solve the problem. Last week, my husband, with his mission organization, held a one-week training for the house church leaders in China. And after the first day, they knew from the intelligence that their meeting may be interrupted. The security is a bit tight at the moment because this year is the 60th anniversary of the founding of the People's Republic of China. And it is also the 50th anniversary of the establishment of Tibetan Autonomous Region. And on top of that, it is the 20th anniversary of the Tiananmen Square crackdown. And so you can imagine the government is all very nervous and apprehensive of any group gathering. And aware of the imminent distraction, with the input from their friends in the National Security Bureau, they decided to move 150 persons across town in another location 30 kilometers away in as discreet as possible. Within 3 hours, they have to do that. But amazingly, God provided a brother in Christ who was able to organize 3 public buses, not coaches, not the tour buses, but regular passenger buses. So no one noticed them, and they were able to be in safety. But the abrupt relocation and the new venue incurred additional unexpected costs. And just as they were wondering how God is going to provide this cost in such a short period of time, the students, at their initiative, took a free will offering to cover the additional costs. And guess how much they collected? No more, no less, but the exact amount that was incurred for the relocation. Our God is alive. Our God is very much interested to protect and provide for us. How do we walk by faith but not by sight? You just do it. Because we cannot experience God's grace and power if we stay in a comfort zone. And in time of fear and distress, instead of asking God to remove the trouble, ask God to open our eyes to see where He is in the situation and how we can respond to Him accordingly. And we will experience God in new ways and faith be strengthened. With the financial tsunami and now the swine flu, have we asked God to open our eyes to see where He is in this? Is the world getting into a mess and God is losing control? Not at all. Remember in Genesis, Joseph said to his brothers who sold him to slavery, "You intended to do harm. God intended for good." Whenever there is change or conflict, you can be sure that God will use it to bring people to Him. People are most receptive to God when they're under tension or in transition. It happens in China, in Africa, and now throughout Asia. Because of the rate of change is increasing in our world, more people are opening to listening to the good news now than ever before. We live in exciting days. We should be excited. We should open our eyes and see that there are now more Christians right now than ever before in history. And Apostle Paul was right. He says to the Colossians, "This same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It is bearing fruit everywhere in changing lives, just as it changed your lives." God wants us to have His vision, to see what He sees, and to see it now, that He is alive and interested in us as it was in the Old Testament time. 2 weeks ago, I received a prayer request from Walter and Christine Wu, which many of you know, about their friend Suzanne. Suzanne had a stroke. Her heart stopped, no brain activities, her color had changed gray, and the doctor advised the family to unplug her from the life support system. And this was very difficult for the family because she has 2 young children and a loving husband. As they prayed, Suzanne's brother received an impression from the Lord that Suzanne would be well in 7 days. So by faith, they told the doctor, "No, we trust that God will do something." The doctor didn't think that he could do much for Suzanne, and so just no medication, just kept her on the life support system. A day later, they find tears in Suzanne's eyes. And the doctor said, "It is spasm reaction." The next day, I went to visit Suzanne. And as I spoke to her, she opened her eyes. And I was pleasantly surprised. And I said, "May I pray for you?" And she nodded. And in the days to come, she kept improving. Fingers start to move. She turned her head. And on the 7th day, she sat up and chatted with friends. She's completely healed. Her speech, arms, feet, and all the faculties returned to normal as ever. She came back to life. And the doctor said he has never seen a recovery like this. Miracles happen today. It is not just something we read about in the Old Testament. It happens today in our midst to the friends that we know. Do you believe that God is alive and He is interested in you and He cares for you? Part of having a vision is knowing that all of the power and glory is the Lord's. You see, God is not afraid of the dark, because he has dominion over all. His light overtakes the darkest of darkness in every situation. But in order for the light to manifest itself in our lives, we must invoke it by faith. Victory does not come because of our strength. It's because of His strength. And when we rely upon God's power, it's when we go forward. Note that Elijah is not doing nothing. He's not saying, God, your army is here, so you take care of the situation, and he fold his hands and do nothing. No. As he sees that the spiritual reality, that the army of God is here with him, he has confidence. And then he prayed with the wisdom that God has given him. And he prayed that the enemy would become blind. And this is interesting. Because when it is at war, you want to kill the enemy before the enemy kill you. But this time, he prayed that only that the enemy would become blind, and God answered his prayer. The entire army was struck blind. And this could be either physical blindness or mental blindness that caused confusion, and so they just willingly follow Elijah to Samaria, the capital of Israel at the time. And when they arrived at Samaria, Elijah prayed again that the Lord open the enemy's eyes, and they find themselves being surrounded by the Israeli troops. And the king of Israel excitedly asked, "Shall we kill them? Shall we kill them?" And Elijah replied, "Do not kill them, but set food and water before them so that they may eat and drink and return to their master." The king of Israel listened and let the Arameans free. The soldiers of Aram went home and told their friends and family, "We were strangely captured and led to Samaria by a bald-headed man and surrounded by the enemy. But instead of being killed, they put food before us and let us have a feast and then send us home." There is a God. He blesses Israel. He blesses the Jewish servant girl. And he blesses the Gentiles who place their faith in him, like our general Naaman. And this act of kindness impressed the whole nation of Aram, and the bands of Aram stopped raiding Israel's territory. I don't know what is your particular needs or situation is right now, but I want you to know that no matter what it is, our Lord is very much interested to provide you with protection and deliverance. Fear, discouragement, and worry is not God's way. Worry is a dark room where negatives develop. But if you fill your heart with regrets of yesterday and worries of tomorrow, you don't have today to be thankful for. The best way to stand on our feet is to be on our knees praying. It was God who gave spiritual eyes to the servant of Elijah so that he, as well as the prophet, could live in the spiritual reality of the double camp, that they can see it. And likewise, he can give us spiritual eyes to see that the eternal chariots of God are always present, surrounding and protecting us from the armies of this world. It was only Jesus who can give sight to blind man who was born blind, as it was recorded in John 9. And meanwhile, the spiritually blind Pharisees refused to believe Jesus was the Messiah. The formerly blind man told the spiritually blind Pharisees, "One thing I do know, I once was blind, but now I see." We have seen that God used his prophet Elijah as an instrument of his compassion among people. And we have also seen Elijah's life and ministry foreshadow that of Jesus Christ. And in the same way, our Lord's life and ministry foreshadowed what our life and ministry are to be among the hurting people, among those who are in need. And once we recover from our spiritual blindness, we are to be sent by the Spirit of God into the world and seek ways to help those who are spiritually blind. And the greatest testimony anyone can hear from us in a world of darkness is that, I once was blind, I once was lost, but now I see. And when asked, how did that happen? He replied, I met Jesus, the light of the world. Do you want to be like the Chinese house church leaders or Suzanne's family who step out of faith and experience God in new ways? Amen.